This is AgriPulse Daybreak West for Thursday, June 18th. Good morning, I'm Jeff Alley. Here's today's headlines. Water Board's E.J. Rep resigns. Duarte ousts Alvarado Gill. Wine grape growers press Washington for relief, and Welsh discusses farm bill. State Water Board member Laurel Firestone is stepping down, leaving a vacancy on the five-member board as it weighs major decisions on drinking water, groundwater enforcement, agriculture runoff, and Bay Delta standards. Firestone announced during a board hearing this week that she is resigning to pursue other opportunities, but plans to remain involved in water policy. She noted the board's one-year revolving door ban, which bars her from being paid to engage with the board to influence agency actions. A former co-founder of the Community Water Center, Firestone joined the board in 2019 after Governor Gavin Newsom fired its previous chair in one of his first acts in office. Firestone became one of the most prominent voices on drinking water equity, the human right to water, and disadvantaged communities. She said the state has been intentional about avoiding band-aids and instead fund lasting fixes for communities that have been left without safe drinking water for years, even generations. Republican farmer Alexandra Duarte has knocked off incumbent State Senator Marie Alvarado-Gill in one of California's most closely watched legislative priorities, securing a spot on the November ballot in Senate District 4. Alvarado-Gill conceded the race after return showed Duarte widening her lead for second place behind Democratic Tulume County Supervisor Jared Brandon. Duarte, a Stanislaus County farmer and wife of former Representative John Duarte, secured second place in the primary after campaigning on affordability, public safety, and criticism of Sacramento policies. The result is a major setback for Alvarado-Gill, who made national headlines in 2024 when she left the Democratic Party and joined Republicans. The district touches 13 counties across the Central Valley and Sierra, making it one of the state's largest legislative districts geographically. The race was marked by sharp attacks over Alvarado-Gill's party switch, legislative record, and ethics controversies. Brandon led the field with 40% of the vote, followed by Duarte at 32%. Alvarado-Gill trailed with 27% of the vote. California wine grape growers took their concerns to Washington this month, pressing the Trump administration and Congress to help shore up an industry struggling with declining crush volumes, contract cancellations, vineyard removals, high levels of unharvested fruit. California Association of Wine Grape Growers said its delegation met with more than 20 congressional offices, including California's two senators and eight House members, as well as USTR, the White House, and USDA officials. CAWG urged policymakers to close an excise tax loophole that says subsidizes imported bulk wine, addresses labeling rules allowing foreign wine bottles labeled American, and fix a Canadian classification gap for non-grape bulk wine. Growers also pushed crop insurance improvements, funding for glassy wing sharpshooter response, protection of USDA crush and acreage reports, and wildfire smoke research. They are tangible steps policymakers can take to strengthen the industry's future, according to CAWG President Natalie Collins. As Senate Ag Committee leaders prepare to release farm bill text, Vermont Senator Peter Welch says lawmakers need to focus on the growing economic reality that farmers are spending more to produce crops than they're earning. Immediately, we've got to provide some relief to farmers who've lost their markets, who've been really hammered as a result of the tariffs, the higher cost of fertilizer, Welch told AgriPulse newsmakers. We've got to start looking at the reality that this is not a sustainable situation. The Vermont Democrat also criticized provisions enacted through the One Big Beautiful Bill Act that shifted some SNAP costs to states. He argued lawmakers should focus on reducing fraud without creating barriers for eligible families seeking food assistance. Maintaining the cost shift, he said, could jeopardize the traditional Farm Bill coalition between agriculture interests and nutrition advocates into the future. Supporters and opponents of genetic engineering offered differing reactions to the European Parliament approval of a regulation that allowed streamlined approval of gene-edited seeds yesterday. The American Seed Trade Association in a news release called the approval of the new genomic techniques regulation, quote, a positive step towards enabling innovation in support of global food security. The group said the regulation creates, quote, a more predictable global environment for the breeders and seed companies that work across borders to bring these products to market. The investment firm Oppenheimer, in a midday report, highlighted products that Corteva has ready to go. The company, quote, has been testing a complete gene editing package for the past 5 to 6 years and has a pipeline of multiple gene and concepts ready to go when the new NGT rules are officially implemented. That process is expected to take between 12 and 24 months. The European organics firm IFOAM, however, said the alleged benefits of NGTs based on pure speculation. We urge policymakers to pay more attention to who controls the technologies they choose to deregulate and the impact of technologies like NGTs on European food sovereignty. Mary Boot, founder and CEO of the Global Farmer Network, said American tariffs are affecting farmers around the globe from Canada to the Philippines. The organization represents farmers in 72 countries and 6 continents worldwide. She recounted April 2, 2025, the day President Donald Trump announced many of his tariffs. That a day when many farmers in the network were conversing. What are you doing in America? How's this? You're crazy, were some of the questions. But the realities of what they mean and how people are choosing to adapt or making decisions to adapt to the realities of the day, and more importantly, the uncertainties of today, has been very interesting, she said. Boot shared that a Canadian potato farmer lost $3 million on a single day from the tariffs when potatoes intended for McDonald's instead had to be used for animal feed. Here's today's final word. We're not growing hot Cheetos for your kids. We're growing medicine. That Jack Vesey, president of Holtville-based Vesey and Company, in a California-grown video celebrating local farmers for National Lettuce Day. Well, that's Daybreak West for this Thursday, June 18th. For the latest news out of Washington, D.C., visit AgriPulse.com. For AgriPulse Daybreak West, I'm Jeff Daly.